we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Tuesday's show, we'll hear from the 2023 African Footballer of the Year.
It's a dream come true for me. I want to thank everyone that have seen me through life's journey in achieving my dreams, in achieving my goals. I appreciate Nigerians for their support. I appreciate Africa for putting me on the map, for encouraging me, for defending me, regardless of my shortcomings. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I appreciate you all. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
That's Victor Osimhen of Nigeria and Napoli. The 24-year-old Osimhen was crowned the top African footballer at a ceremony in Marrakesh, Morocco. And it capped a big night for Nigeria. Nigeria's Asisat Oshola won the Women's Player of the Year award for a record-extending sixth time. Nigeria's Super Falcons won the Women's National Team of the Year award, while their Paris FC player, Chiamaka Nnadozie, was named the Women's Goalkeeper of the Year. On a glittering night in Marrakesh, host Morocco also had plenty of reasons to be proud. The Moroccans won five awards, including Men's National Team of the Year and Men's Coach of the Year, Walid Regragui. For reaction to Victor Osimhen winning his first African Footballer of the Year award, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
The year 2023 has been a phenomenal year for Nigeria's superstar, Victor Osimhen. In 2023, he has smashed a lot of soccer records, both individually and collectively for the team he's playing for. Now, in this year, he has led Italian giants Napoli to their first Serie A title in 33 years. And he also emerged the top scorer in the Italian top flight, winning the Capo Cannoniere and becoming the first African to do so in many years. And of course, he also became the highest goal scoring African ever in Italian Serie A. The records kept rolling in for him. And it's not a surprise to me personally that he has crowned the year in a very fantastic manner, claiming the African Player of the Year award. You know, no Nigerian footballer has ever won this award since Nwankwo Kanu did that in 1999, which means Nigerians have been made to wait for 24 years before this child of promise has come home to deliver it back to Nigerians. Osimhen's life and career has been one of a steady rise. He was the top scorer at under 17 level, scoring 10 goals in 2015 at the under 17 World Championships in Chile. And from there, he has stepped onto the Super Eagles, and it was the same 10 goals that he scored to emerge as the top scorer of the qualifying series for next month's Africa Cup of Nations, which ended a couple of months back. That has been the summary of Victor Osimhen's lethal power in front of goal. And like I said, it's not a surprise to me personally that he has claimed this gong. If you look at his progresses, just last week he was also named as the AIC, that's the Association of Italian-based Footballers, the Player of the Year for last season. He finished 8th in the Ballon d'Or race for this year, making him the highest ever Nigerian, the biggest Nigerian to reach that height ever since the award started. So it's been a phenomenal year for him. He's been an awesome one. And as Nigerians and Africans, we are proud of him because he is gradually bringing back those years that Nigeria used to dominate African football, both individually and collectively as a team.
Super Falcons and FC Barcelona Femini forward Asisat Oshoala won the Best Women Player of the Year for a record sixth time. Did this come to you as a surprise?
I must say it's not a surprise to me at all that Barcelona and Nigeria Super Falcons superstar Asisat Oshoala has claimed the gong for the best soccer player in African women's football for another year. Why? Because Oshola has since long ago established herself as one of the greatest ever soccer stars in Africa. And, you know, her exploits for Barcelona, where she scored a total of 27 goals in all competition last term to lead them to a number of trophies, including the Spanish League title and the Champions League. And then she scored for Nigeria at the Women's World Cup. Just recently, she also scored a couple of goals in against Ethiopia in a qualifying game for next year's Olympics. This has been the summary of Asisat Oshoala. She has been there consistently doing it year after year and winning the award for a record sixth time. A record extended sixth time is not a child's play at all. It only takes a player that is dedicated, that is truly talented, and that is disciplined and focused to ensure that she doesn't drop the ball. Yes, during the period of these 6 years, she had lost the crown at one point or the other, but every time she loses it, she comes back stronger to claim it. So she's been a phenomenal football star, and I'm sure the whole of Nigeria is proud of Asisat Oshoala. And of course, because not just Nigeria, she also hoists the African flag very well in Spain, where she has been based for a number of years now. Not a surprise that she has won the award. And of course, if care is not taken, she will still extend it more to 7th or more. But the good thing is a lot of players are now coming up in Africa. They're responding. We have Barbara Banda from Zambia making the final shortlist. We have Thembi Gatlana still at the peak of her powers playing soccer for the Banyana. Even for Nigeria, Rashidat Ajibade is growing rapidly year after year for Nigeria Super Falcons, and she has been touted to be on that final three podium in the next 1 or 2 years if she continues at this trajectory. That has been the story. Congratulations to Asisat, but it's not a surprise to many of us that she has excelled this much in the women's game.
Super Falcons of Nigeria emerged as the best national women team of the year, with goalkeeper Chiamaka Nnadozie as the best women keeper in Africa. What's your take on this?
After a rather turbulent 2022, Nigeria's Super Falcons turned it around in 2023 and they made the year one of the best year ever. And that has ended with them being crowned as the national team of the year in the women's version for African football. Now, in 2022, an ignominious fourth place finish at the Women's Africa Cup of Nations in Morocco was trailed by a number of disastrous friendly results against the likes of the United States of America, Japan. But ever since the page was turned into 2023, the Falcons started churning in good results, which culminated in a very fantastic performance at the Women's World Cup in Australia in the summer. And up to now, it's on record that the Super Falcons did not lose any game in regulation time in the year 2023. Definitely not a surprise that they have been crowned the best national team for the women's version in 2023. A number of their players also excelled, including Asisat that we talked about, and Chiamaka Nnadozie, the goalkeeper, who also won the Goalkeeper of the Year award, and she's been supreme for French club Paris FC and for Nigeria Super Falcons, both on the continent and at the last Women's World Cup also. So it's been a fantastic year for the Falcons, and after that horrendous 2022 they had, we say congratulations to them for re-establishing themselves as the pioneer and the best team in African women's football.
Atlas Lions of Morocco won the best men's national team of the year award. What's your reaction to this?
The exploits of the Atlas Lions of Morocco at last year's FIFA World Cup in Qatar will never go away from memory so soon. And that's why it was expected that many of the performances that we had in Qatar will be rewarded on Monday night. And yes, they were rewarded. One of such was the Atlas Lions being named the African Men's National Team of the Year. It's not debatable. Having gone as far as third place of the World Cup, they absolutely deserve it. And it's also good to see their head coach, Walid Regragui also winning the Coach of the Year award. And you see their goalkeeper, Yassin Bono, who had an exceptional World Cup tournament in Qatar, named the Goalkeeper of the Year. And of course, he also won the Europa League with Sevilla in Europe. So it's just to show how significant the performances of the Moroccans were in the last 12 months. And like I said, it's only right that they were rewarded for painting Africa's name in good light for the rest of the world, especially in Qatar and beyond. They also qualified comfortably for the Africa Cup of Nations starting in January. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to all the recipients of the awards on Monday night. And I'm sure they all know that it's not a call for celebration, but a call for them to keep working harder to see that they never drop the level of consistency.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria, Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Pro basketball, the Detroit Pistons and the San Antonio Spurs, winners of 3 and 5 NBA titles, respectively, are struggling with club record losing streaks. The Pistons lost their 20th consecutive game Monday night when they fell to the visiting Indiana Pacers 131-123. And the Spurs, despite another excellent performance from top draft pick Victor Wembanyama, suffered their 17th consecutive loss when they were beaten by the host, Houston Rockets, 93-82. Wembanyama had 15 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 blocks in the loss. Joining me now for some NBA insights is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Definitely a learning experience for Wemby, and I guess, you know, he's really kind of taking it on the chin in terms of these losses, Mukbil, but I got to believe in the long run, he and the Spurs will right their ship, as they say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with that sentiment exactly. I think the San Antonio Spurs, you got to understand, in order to get the number one pick, they tanked last year, you know, whether or not that was intentional or not. This is not a very good team as a collective. If they were, they wouldn't be able to solidify arguably one of the best number one draft picks in a really long time in Victor Wembanyama. With that being said, Vic is only one person. There's only so much that one player can do, especially if you are the one that the entire opposition is just looking at and trying their very best to stop. He had 15 points, 18 rebounds, and 3 assists with 5 blocks as well. So as you mentioned, like as much as he tried to do that, that's really all you can ask of a rookie, right? He's trying to play on both sides of the court. But other than that, hasn't been a lot of help for him. He had Vassell that had about 14 points. KJ had 12 points. A couple of players here and there, but in totality, that he needs that second guy. In the NBA today, you look at majority of the teams that are winning, and there is a very strong 1-2 punch, if not 3 players of a high caliber, like a similar to a big 3 type of setup that any given night can kind of assist each other. It's a different NBA now. So if the Spurs want to be able to be successful with Victor, they're going to have to get him some help.
Mukbil, in Detroit, Michigan, the Pistons lose their 20th consecutive game. They were beaten by the Pacers, who recently lost to the Lakers in the in-season championship game. What about the Pistons? Do you see them getting better as this season progresses?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about the Pistons is that the Pistons have, he was the number one or number two pick in Cade Cunningham a couple years ago, and then they have the fourth pick in this year's draft, Asar Thompson, one of the Thompson twins. So combination-wise, if you look at the both of them, Cunningham put up 23 points yesterday. He had 7 assists and 6 rebounds. Asar Thompson had 20 points and 6 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block as well. Bogdanovic had 17 points. So it's not like this team doesn't have a 1-2 punch, maybe even a 3 punch with Bogdanovic. I believe their problem has been, as a collective, it's been defense. They just have not been able to stop anyone else from scoring. You know, they also have Wiseman as well, who hasn't really been playing that well. So this team has potentials to really win with the pieces that they have at the moment. They just aren't clicking fully at the moment. So maybe it's might be coaching, it might be culture, quite a few potential options, Sonny. But I think knowing the Detroit Pistons organization is an organization that has a very tough mentality, winning Detroit basketball in the 80s and 90s, then came Tayshaun Prince and the Wallaces with Chauncey Billups in that reign in 2000 when they beat the Lakers. So the Bad Boy Pistons are known to play that style of basketball. So hopefully they're able to get that back and get on with this winning, because this is not what Detroit basketball is about.
Mukbil, in the only game Monday night that went into overtime, Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks prevail over the Chicago Bulls 133-129. Giannis with another excellent all-around game. Your thoughts on that contest?
Giannis is doing what he has to do in order to get this team to win, literally willing his team to win. 32 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. 12 rebounds. Yeah, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Really doing it from all sides. If you look at his plus minus, he's the only player that his plus minus is plus 13. Closest teammate to his was, I believe, Beasley, that had a plus 6 on the plus minus. Dame Lillard put up another 14. Portis had 17. Chris Middleton with 13. So Brooke Lopez put up 19 as well. So this Milwaukee Bucks team has shown that they are a collective of really, really strong players. Brooke Lopez is, I wouldn't even say he's underrated at this point, but he's somebody that teams need to put on this scouting report. I believe a lot of teams are concentrating on Dame Lillard and Giannis as a 1-2 punch, and Dame has had some really good games, but Giannis has been the most consistent player on this team, and one could argue and say that Brook Lopez has been their second most consistent player in not only scoring, but just spacing the floor out. As a big player, as a big center, you don't expect him to be, you know, usually just taking three-pointers, but he attempted 6 threes. He was 2 for 6 from three-point land. This is the new NBA, Sonny. So, yeah, look to see Brook Lopez continue to make an impact on this team.
Okay, let's go to New Orleans, Louisiana, Mukbil. The Pelicans topped the Timberwolves 120-107. I know you've been really high on the T-Wolves, best record in the NBA. But I don't think the T-Wolves were at full strength last night, were they, Mukbil?
The T-Wolves did not have Ant-Man yesterday, and really that kind of shows you, if he's not playing, this team looks like a very, very, very different team. Of their star caliber players, I believe he was the only one that wasn't there, but he's that guy nowadays that really puts them over the top. You know, Karl Anthony Towns had about 17 points, 12 rebounds. Mike Conley had another 17.7 assists. You know, so realistically speaking, when you don't have Anthony Edwards on this team is a middle of the pack type of team, if not even lower, a little lower, sixth, maybe seventh seed in the West. With Anthony Edwards, this team is a top caliber team. So I'm sure they're missing him. It showed that, you know, without him, this team is it'll be a very, very difficult run for them if he's unable to get back in the rotation soon. Also, look at Rudy Gobert. I believe he's two or three time Defensive Player of the Year. Really has not been doing anything for them. You look at yesterday's game, 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers. Rudy really needs to add that extra layer, that offensive layer to his game in order to help the Minnesota Timberwolves get to that very next level. You have Rudy Gobert and Kat playing on the same, you know, court, a lot of times playing same minutes, two really big players. Kat is very versatile offensively, but Rudy has not shown an increase in his ability to play offense. He's a very defensive-minded player, but, you know, in today's NBA, just playing defense is not going to help your team. So he needs to add that next element of offense. Now, when we look at the New Orleans Pelicans, it was Zion Williamson's show. 36 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Really just kind of an effort of him doing everything he could for this team. CJ McCollum also had 23 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Brandon Ingram with 20 points, 5 assists, and 3 rebounds. So, Sonny, when you really look at it, Zion has put together some really, really amazing games this season already. And we've known this young man to have this skill set. Unfortunately, he has been hurt for a big portion of his his career already. But it seems like he's getting back into motion. If he can continue to stay healthy, this is a very, very dangerous team. Plus minus was 26 plus for Zion Williamson. Unbelievable numbers.
Well, Muckbill, in terms of staying healthy, reports say Anthony Edwards missed that game last night because of a hip pointer. And I think you were talking just recently on social media how Edwards has drawn comparison to Michael Jordan.
Yeah. It's this funny trend that's been happening for at least over a year now, where folks have been putting clips together of Anthony Edwards and Jordan's, not only their playing style, but just mannerisms and certain things that he says. You really can see the grit that this young man has, alongside him wanting to play the best offensive player. He wants to play defense on the best offensive player on the other side while also going at them. He's very, very, he reminds you a lot of not only Michael Jordan, but a lot of the greats in the earlier years. You know, the 80s and the 90s style basketball is very different than the style that we have today, where a lot of the offensive-minded players don't really play defense. Not only do they not pride themselves in playing defense, they really, for the most part, try to stay away so that they don't end up on a highlight reel on the opposite side. So it's a breath of fresh air to have a player this young. His personality is through the roof. And then on top of that, he's willing to play defense at a high level and also come back and score on you. It really shows a different level of leadership. And to be honest with you, Sonny, I think in the next few years, he's going to be the face of the league if he continues to stay healthy and keep on this pace.
Finally, Muckbill, we talked about the Pistons and the Spurs and their struggles. The Spurs at the bottom of the Western Conference with 3 wins, 19 losses. The Pistons at the bottom of the Eastern Conference with 2 wins and 21 losses. Right above the Pistons, they're in that same group of woeful teams this year. Our own Washington Wizards, they were crushed Monday night by the Philadelphia 76ers. Looks like the most lopsided game of the evening. 146 to 101. And I think it was
almost like an exhibition for the big man from Cameroon, Muckbill, Joel Embiid. The Wizards didn't put up too much of a test.
Sonny, what can I say about the local home team, man? This has been a very, very tough start to any season that I've seen for the Wizards. As you mentioned, Joel Embiid, man, what a player, Sonny. 34 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block, man. He was just doing it all. 30 on the plus-minus, plus 30 for his plus-minus. Tyrese Maxey also put up 24 points. Outside of that, it was just an Embiid show.
Talking NBA hoops with Muckbill Yabaro. Thanks, Muckbill.
Thanks, Sonny.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam, and I hope all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners are having a good day. In African athletics, Ethiopia's Tigis Assefa and the Kenyans Faith Kipyegon and Kelvin Kiptum were all named World Athletes of the Year after the awards were expanded into 3 categories. Previously, World Athletics recognized a male and female athlete of the year. For 2023, the international governing body divided the awards into track, field, and out-of-stadia categories. Kiptum and Assefa, who set marathon world records this year, won in the men's out-of-stadia and women's out-of-stadia categories, respectively. And Faith Kipyegon won in the women's track category.
Wow, I'm so proud of myself. You know, to have achieved what I achieved this year was magnificent. It was like, it was a dream come true from long time ago. So I'm so proud of myself.
Yes, it was a magnificent year for Faith Kipyegon. In August, in Budapest, she became the first female runner in history to win both the 1,500 meters and 5,000 meters at the World Championships. And Faith traveled to Budapest after setting 3 different world records during an unprecedented 50-day sequence. Faith Kipyegon is also a 2-time Olympic champion at the 1,500 meters distance, winning gold at Rio de Janeiro 2016 and Tokyo 2020. In American-style professional football, Tennessee rallied to beat Miami in the weekly Monday night game, as we hear now from the AP's Chuck Freeman.
The Tennessee Titans pulled off an improbable comeback in Miami. A 2-touchdown underdog, the Titans scored 2 touchdowns in the final 4 minutes of the game to rally for a 28-27 win over the Dolphins. Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill says they learned a lesson.
As a team, man, we can never take any opponent lightly. You know, the Tennessee Titans are a real good team. You know, we've seen that tonight.
Titans quarterback Will Levis put together 2 touchdown drives and 2 two-point conversions down the stretch. The New York Giants got a game-winning field goal from Randy Bullock as time expired, and the Giants win 24-22 over the Green Bay Packers. Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito says his team is confident going into that game-winning drive.
Just go win the football game. Go execute a drive that we practice every day before practice, which is a 2-minute drive. We do it every day, different situations.
DeVito led the team downfield after the defense had just given up the Packers' go-ahead touchdown. Baseball, Shohei Ohtani will receive just $20 million of his $700 million contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers over the next 10 years. The rest of it will be deferred. In the NBA, San Antonio lost a franchise record 17th in a row. Houston beat him 93-82. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 30 through 3 quarters. That was it. Oklahoma City down Utah 134-120. The Denver Nuggets ended their 3-game skid. They got 29 from Jamal Murray.
They're at home and they're going to fight and they're going to, you know, keep playing. So I think we got to do a better job of just, you know, not getting too sloppy out there and just taking care of the basketball.
Denver knocked off Atlanta 129-122. Dallas over Memphis. New Orleans beat Minnesota. Milwaukee in overtime over Chicago. It was New York downing Toronto. Orlando beat Cleveland. Miami over Charlotte. Philadelphia got by Washington. Indiana defeated Detroit. The Pistons suffered their 20th straight loss. The Clippers edged Portland. Sacramento over Brooklyn. Chuck Freeman.
Thanks, Chuck. And thanks to producer Muckbill Yabaro. Thanks also to engineer Kelia Williams. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thank you.